Welcome to everyone. It is our hope that our efforts this morning will be spent in encouraging and strengthening one another. It is our desire to honor the Father, to honor the Son, and to honor the Spirit, God, as a whole, as He would have us to do, but it is also our purpose to strengthen and encourage one another. And I hope that you've already been strengthened and encouraged by some of the songs that we have sung, in fact, by all of the songs that we have sung. And I hope that they are a blessing to you. This morning's topic, we don't like to talk about death, but it is something that happens to all. There are very few who did not see death, who will not see death, two, in fact. Enoch and Elijah are the two we have recorded in Scripture. But it is something that happens to all of us, and we need to consider it. There are a lot of questions regarding what happens when this life is over. Where do I go? What's going to be happening between the time that I die and the day of judgment? Is there time between that? Will I be awake? Will I be asleep? Where am I going to be? What am I going to suffer? What am I going to endure? What am I going to enjoy? Are there all kinds of things? And certainly in doing that, we've probably seen multiple different charts from time to time that talk about these things, that deal with this idea of Abraham's bosom and the eternal rest that it represents, and Tartarus, the eternal destruction. Or we may hear words like Hades or paradise or hell. We hear ideas like waiting and judgment and resurrection, reward and punishment. We see things that talk about death, when, where, and how, and things of that nature. And we're not going to talk about those this morning. We're going to be talking about some of those things, and that's why I introduced those two charts. I don't know that we're going to follow those charts exactly, but there's a lot of information in those charts. And so we may be looking at them again as we go through and look at these things. But I want us to take some time over the next few months and look at what is after death. Because everybody wonders. We have books about it. Interesting, the one person that we know was raised from the dead and still lived shortly thereafter, we don't have any writings from him. Lazarus, you remember that guy? There's nothing from him, right? The only one that has died and risen again that we have any word from is Jesus. And there are some things he reveals, and we'll talk about those. But I thought it good as we started to introduce this idea and think about these things. At first, we look at Paul's attitude toward death. And as you see here, from the things, the terms that Paul uses in referencing death, it doesn't sound so bad. Paul talked about it as being asleep. In fact, if you go just a few verses above what Brother Bill read for us, he references, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be raised." Or in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, "Those who have fallen asleep in Christ." Those who have fallen asleep in Christ. Or as he speaks in the Thessalonian letter in chapter 4 in verse 14, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Paul looks at death as sleep, a change of state. And in general, the idea of sleep is a peaceful thought. Now note, Paul equates this idea of sleep with those who are in Christ. They have that peace of sleep. And for the most part, when we pillow our heads at night and go to sleep, we go to sleep with some measure of peace, without real concern over what's going to be happening the next day if we wake up, when we wake up. And I think it's important for us to recognize these things. I think before we start talking about what's coming hereafter, we need to get grasp in our minds, we need to get this idea that death is not an end. And we'll talk about that a little more as we get further in. But it's just a new state to wait for another. He references it when he writes to the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I'm just going from one place to another. That sounds pretty benign. Many of us depart to go from one place to the other. In fact, every single one of us got up this morning and prepared ourselves to depart our homes to come here. And we transferred from where we were to where we were going. That's what Paul uses to reference death. A departure. A leaving of this state to go to another state. And there's time involved in that. Most of us, it took anywhere from 5 minutes to maybe a half hour, maybe 45 minutes for some of you. I don't know. Probably less this year than it was last year when you had to go through the construction, but still. There's a time involved. And certainly there's a time involved in death. It's a departure. It's going from one place to the other. He also uses terms that indicate the idea of moving on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And later on in verse 8, he says, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. There's two concepts there that Paul talks about. First is the idea of moving from one place to the other, which we see with the departure idea. But Paul also sees it as going home. And I think that's one of the aspects of death that we sometimes miss or we don't keep in mind as we ought to. It's like going home. You've been cruising around on a cruise ship and you had a hurricane to deal with and you didn't get to go where you wanted to go. But now you're going home. You've been off visiting family and friends, went on vacation. Now you're going home. And I think that concept of we are strangers or pilgrims, we are wanderers in this world who are on our way home, is certainly a concept we see in Scripture. And I'm convinced that that's one of the things we miss keeping in mind about death. Death is not an end. It's not a closing. It's not a finishing off of everything. Death is a leaving this place where we are sojourning and going home for the Christian. And I think it's important that we get that in mind. Paul kind of sees it as a beginning again. Look again at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Notice what Paul says there. And I know there's a discussion there of other things there. But notice what he says there. If the dead are not raised. Here's his point he's making. We'll be raised. Death is not the final end. In fact, it is the transition to the beginning of eternity. It is a beginning again in a perfect place for those who are the children of God. And there again, that perfect place and the things regarding heaven and hell we'll talk about in other lessons. But Paul sees it as just going to another place to start again. He also sees it as victory. Victory. Most of the world sees death as a defeat. They're living their lives in such a manner that it indicates that they are doing everything they possibly can to keep from dying. And Paul says it's not a defeat, it is a victory. Note what Brother Bill read for us in verse 56 and 57 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we are victorious over death. Death cannot take us. It is something that we will pass through. I started to use the word endure. I don't know whether there will be any enduring. We may not even know what's going on during that time frame. But it is a time of victory. I have completed my course, Paul says later on. We'll look at that passage later on this morning. It's victory. We finished the race. Paul said in his death he would magnify Christ because it is a victory. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul says, I will honor Christ in my body even with my death. Why? Because he belonged to Christ. He was serving Christ. He was faithful to Christ. And it was a victory. It was an overcoming. And Paul recognized that death even could not take him away from Christ. In fact, it brings us closer to Christ, as we'll see in some of the later passages we'll look at. For if we live, Paul told the Romans, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. There is nothing that can take us away from the Lord as long as we serve Him. Not even death can separate us from Christ. And because of that, we can live our lives without fear of death. I've known a lot of Christians through the ages who were afraid to die. Who took great pains and made great effort to ensure that they didn't die. I've also known a lot of Christians that said, I'm ready. I'm ready. If that time comes, I am not afraid. When Paul was being tried in Acts chapter 25 and verse 11, he said, if I'm a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. Nothing in their charges against me. No one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. That's the time frame when he says that. Paul wasn't afraid to die. In fact, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul said, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, my life as life is not important to me. My life is only important as I can use it in serving God. And therefore, if I lose my life, as long as I have been working for God while I was alive, I'm not concerned about it. Don't worry. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Paul wasn't afraid of death because he knew that even though this body was deteriorating and falling apart, his spirit, his soul, his inner man was continuing to grow and increase and strengthen in his service to the Lord and his dedication to the Lord. And he was confident that when this life came to an end, he would be with God. So he saw death as victory. In fact, Paul's language indicates to us that he saw death as something to be looked forward to, anticipated. Can you imagine somebody who goes through life with the attitude of, I am just waiting for the time to die. I'm looking forward to passing away from this life because I know what's in the next life. I like that song, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I'm not worried about death. I anticipate death. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 13, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And of course, passage that probably came to your minds when we started talking about this anticipating or looking forward to death, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and that the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul said, I'm not afraid to die. In fact, I'm looking forward to that time. I'm more than willing to go. In fact, he told the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, we are of good courage and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Think about that. Is that the view you have of death? I would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I'm looking forward to being with God. Like most folks, we enjoy spending time with our grandchildren, driving down there, visiting with them, playing with them, even get down on the floor sometimes and have to have somebody help us get back up. Watching them play, talking with them, watching their shows. We enjoy that. And we look forward to being able to do that when we're not doing that. But we also start looking forward to being back home because it's quiet at our house. And my bed's at my house. And the food that we normally eat is at our house. And I don't have to watch the same cartoons that they watch. Their cartoons are not real cartoons anymore. My TV's at my house, in other words. There's lots of things that I look forward to. I think we need to sit down sometimes and yes, look at our life and count our blessings, but then stop and think, I really am not as interested in these things as I am in heaven. I would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. For as Paul told the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 1, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because of this, I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Paul says, I know there's a lot of work I can do here. And for your sake, it's probably better that I stay here and do this work. But as far as I'm concerned, I think it would be better if I were no longer here and I was at home with the Lord. I'm ready to depart. But he was unselfish, he said, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account, in verse 24. I stay because it helps you. And in doing that, I help my Lord. But by the time he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, henceforth there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. There's a reward waiting for me. There's victory at the end of this race, and I'm looking forward to that. But Paul goes on and says, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And understand, that loved his appearing doesn't mean, oh, I love you, God. It means, love you so I keep your commandments. All those who have loved themselves enough to devote themselves to the Lord, waiting to go and be with him for eternity. Paul anticipated death because of what it meant for him. Now, how did Paul come to this kind of a radical idea? Because when you look at that in regards to most of the world today, that's a radical idea. I want to leave this world behind and go and be with God. Most people, I want to grab all the world I can get. A lot of Christians too, by the way. Well, Paul could have that kind of an attitude about death because he had prepared himself for death. And it started with a focus. And his focus was on the whole counsel of God. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. There in Acts chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. I stepped away before I saw those numbers. Acts 20, verse 26 and 27. Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders there that he called to the island of Miletus, and he said, I want you to know I'm not going to see you anymore, but I've told you everything you need to know. I've not shrunk back from telling you anything that God gave me to give. Now, how did Paul tell them everything? Well, he was focused on everything God had delivered himself. It wasn't just that he had preached the whole counsel of God. Paul lived the whole counsel of God. His life was about fulfilling the plan of God as best he could. Paul focused himself and remained steadfast in that focus. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That was his prayer for the Corinthian brethren. It was his focus in his own life. If we will devote ourselves to the whole counsel of God and be diligent in working for the Lord and steadfast, standing firm, continuing to grow and to increase, we can have that attitude toward death. We can walk through life with the thought, if I lose my life, I've not lost much, I'm going to be with God. If I pass from this world, that means I no longer have to deal with all the difficulties and problems of this world. I can go and be with God. But we still have thoughts of, man, my children are going to have to put up with a lot of stuff. But we still stop and consider, how will others feel when I'm gone? We're going to have those thoughts, yes. But Paul's point here is we can go to death with confidence, because we start out by focusing on the Word of God. And when we focus on the Word of God, what is it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you focus on the Word of God, what you get is faith. And we know faith. Faith is what tells us that what God said He would do, He's going to do. And it's not a blind faith. We can look back and see. God said this was going to happen. Oh, that's exactly what happened. And so if God says this is going to happen, then we can know that that's going to happen. If God says, I have a place prepared for you, that when you pass from this life, if you were my child, you will get to go home and be with me for all eternity. We can trust that is the case because God told the Israelites, I'm going to take you out of Egypt and take you to the land that flows with milk and honey, and I'm going to give it to you. And He did. What they did with it's a whole other story, but He gave it to them. Just like He promised. They became the great nation that He promised Abraham His children would become. He sent the Savior He promised Abraham would come through His seed. And that Savior died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for your sins and for mine so that we can be free from the bondage of sin. You see, when we focus on the Word of God, it develops faith. And Paul tells us as he writes to the Thessalonian brethren, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Thessalonian brethren had a little problem with death and the second coming. They were worried. They had concern that their parents and their friends who had already passed away were going to miss out on the final resurrection because they'd already died. Paul says, don't worry about that. God has promised. I've got you the word from the Lord Himself. That even those of us who are still alive when the Lord returns are not going to go before those who have already passed. Those who are already passed, they will be the first to arise at the trump of the Lord. And then we who are alive will rise to be with them, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Paul said, don't worry. God has promised that He will take us to be with Him at the end of time. And we can trust that that will take place. Because it's the same God that promised that Abraham's seed would bring salvation to all the world through the branch, through the seed, Jesus Christ. Paul goes so far as when he speaks to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If our only faith is that God will be with us while we're here on the face of the earth, we're going to lead a miserable life. We are to be pitied because our faith is not just in God being with us here in this life. We do have faith that He will be with us. He will watch over. He will protect us. He will care for us. He will guide us. He will instruct us. All of those things we see throughout the pages of Scripture. But what our real hope is that in Christ, when we pass from this life, we can go and be at home with God. Also, that's where the real hope is. That's what we talk about when we talk about a living hope. There were a lot of people, even in Paul's days, who had this idea that it's just here on earth and that's all. It's over and done with. When you die, you're just like Rover, dead all over. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Some people think a lot of their pets. Dead as a doorknob. We'll use that phrase. There's a lot of people that go through life thinking that. There's even some who have been taught and have followed the ways of the Lord, who have turned their backs upon the Lord and have come to the understanding in their own minds that there is no God, and once I die, I'm dead and it's all gone. And so I don't have to worry about anything. Paul says, you don't just have hope of Christ being with you in this life. What really matters is you've got hope of being with Christ in eternity, at home with God. Because as he said in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, beginning in verse 16, we do not lose heart. Though our inner self is wasting away, our Our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, and the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul said, we have faith. And that's what drives us. That's why we don't grow weary and we don't lose heart. Even though our bodies are wasting away, even though we're afflicted while we go through this life, we know there is something greater and better that's awaiting us. Because we put our trust in God and we put our trust in things that are unseen, that are eternal. How many of the things from your youth, and some of y'all can think a whole lot further back than some of us others can, how many of the things from your youth are no longer around? Anybody got a Sony Walkman laying around in the house? 8-track tape player? An AM transistor radio. A big black phone that makes a lot of noise ringing when it... You see, all the things of this world pass away. I know some of you still got them stuck in a closet somewhere. I had a bunch of VHS tapes that I took them to my sister's house. Everything in this world passes away. Your favorite shirt from high school. Well, some of you may still have your favorite shirt from high school. It all fades. It is gone. Everything we can see fades away. Even the world is fading away. The sun is fading away. It's not fast enough that we can tell it for sure, but it's fading away. But God does not. God, Christ, the Holy Spirit are the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Or yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I think that's how it works. They do not change. Heaven was prepared before creation. We just got through studying in the book of John where Jesus told his apostles, don't be worried. I'm going to the Father and I'm going to prepare a way for you. And we talked about how that way is his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, preparing the means by which we can get there. And I'm going to make a place for you. And that was setting things in motion so that we can be in heaven with God for eternity. It's there. It's ready for us. We can't see it. But it's there. Paul says, faith is what allows us to live with an attitude of, this life is not as important to me as being with Christ. As being with God. Focus. Faith. And obedience. I know, I thought for a little bit trying to find an F word that meant obedience, and I didn't think of one right away, so we just went to this one. We all understand it. Obedience. For to me, to live is Christ. Paul said, how do I have this kind of attitude? How can I look at death as a gain? I see living as Christ. I live Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. I think it's imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do the will of God here upon earth. God has not destined us for wrath, Paul told the Thessalonian brethren, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. whether we're in this life or the life to come, we live with Christ. You want to have an attitude toward death that says, I'm not worried, I'm not afraid, I'm not concerned, I can leave this life at any time because I know I can go and be with the Father? Well, then you've got to have focus on the Word of God, you've got to have faith that's developed by that Word of God, and then you've got to have obedience that your faith prompts you in. Submission to the entire will of God, such that it could be said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ liveth in me. We get that by building our faith and trust in God through study of the Word of God. And that gives us courage, because we know that God is with us. We know that we are living for the Lord, and therefore we know that there is a place of peace waiting for us when this life is over. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. We've looked at this a moment ago, but we'll look at it again. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We are of good courage. We understand we're walking through this world. We have God at our side while we're walking. But the main thing that we have in our minds is there's a place waiting for us when we finish this life. We have somewhere else to go, and so we are conducting ourselves in accordance with the will of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. We put our trust in God and carry ourselves through life with that attitude. God is with me because I am serving Him. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. It's our purpose. To please God. That's how Paul could have such confidence in regards to death. That's how Paul could look at death as just moving on to the next part. Just leaving one place and going to the place where I belong. Because he had focused upon the Word of God, that had developed the faith and trust in God that he needed, and he was walking in obedience with that will. He was living his life for Christ. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because of this, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Getting through this life is going to be a whole lot easier if we can develop the kind of attitude that Paul had regarding death. It won't matter whether there is a hell, because we're living our life with preparation to be with God in heaven. It won't matter if there is a waiting place between the time my eyes close in death and the time that I am called to be with the Lord. Because no matter what that waiting place is, I will be in a place of peace and rest until I stand before my God and receive my sentence for eternity. Now, if I'm not living my life in accordance with the will of God, those things are going to matter a lot. Because if there's a hell, it's preserved for those who do not obey God. Ooh, if I'm not following in accordance with the will of God, that's the place I'm headed. If there is a waiting place for those who have not been faithful to the Lord to sit and wait out judgment, like we read of there in Luke 16, I think it is, the rich man and Lazarus. That place of torment where the rich man was, if there is a place like that, then that's what I've got to look forward to even while I'm waiting for judgment. You see, if I'm not serving God, I don't have that peace in regards to death. Death is a dread to me. Because it means punishment. It means torment, torture. Forever. But the child of God has the peace and tranquility of knowing that they have lived in accordance with the will of God, and therefore God will take them home. If they're asleep and don't know what's going on between death and resurrection and judgment, won't affect them one way or the other. If they're awake and in paradise, like we see Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, in a place of rest and peace in the bosom of Abraham, it's just a plus. Preparation for eternity, because the Christian knows, and by Christian I mean the one who has obeyed the will of God, submitted to His law, they know that home is waiting for them to return, to go and be with God. Question for each of us is, how am I living my life today? Am I living it as Christ would have me to live? Am I following His commands and His teachings? That begins by being obedient to His will, submitting myself and admitting that submission and taking the steps to demonstrate that submission by confessing that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died on the cross of Calvary for my sins, confessing it before God and before men and changing my ways to be aligned with His Word. And then being buried in baptism so that I can have my sins washed away. So that I am putting to death the old man and washing away my sins and rising up out of that watery grave just like Christ rose from the grave. A new creature, one who is focused on serving God. If you've not done those things, you are going to be outside of heaven when this life is over. I don't know any... I could find some kinder language, but it's not going to make any difference in what it says. You hear the Word, you believe the Word, you confess the Word, you change to follow the Word, and you're buried in baptism to wash away all that you have done and start over in accordance with the Word. That's how you become a part of the family of God, and you know your home is in heaven. Then you live in accordance with the will of God. You live Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I buffet my body and keep it under subjection, lest that by any time I myself should be a castaway, Paul said. Constantly watching myself, correcting myself, lining myself up with the Word of God, focus on the Word, developing faith, and strict obedience to the will of God. And when I fail, and I will fail, I go to God and say, God, please forgive me of my sins. Help me to overcome these things. And I turn away from those sins. And He cleanses me again through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the advocate we have. Christ speaks to God on our behalf. If you look this morning and you find that you are living in accordance with the will of God, we want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Be steadfast. We want to help you to grow and to increase so that we can all be better able to face the difficulties and overcome the sins of this world. But if you find that you are not a part of the body of Christ because you've not become one of the family, we encourage you to do that. Confess Jesus, repent of your sins, and be buried in baptism to have your sins washed away. If you have done that in the past and you look this morning and you find that you have failed, you ought to be scared of death. The Christian who has turned away from God should be, of all people, scared of death, because you know what's coming unless you make the change. Make the change this morning if we can assist you in that. Time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.